Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymere Church of Christ. If you'd like to go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to spend some time in that chapter tonight, Ephesians 4. It is good to see everyone here this evening. We do have several of our young people that are part of what has really become a tradition for the last several years, and a worship time and in bonfire at the Bishop's home along with the Southgate Youth Group, and so that's become just a real special time. We're thankful for those opportunities. We're also thankful for the opportunity we have to come together and to continue thinking about the church. There are a lot of things that we want to be keeping in mind. You've seen a lot of the things that are going on and work that's been done in a parking lot, and that will continue. And so please just bear with us as there are certain places we'll have to drive around for a while and to get that all set. Just as a reminder for us, when the parking lot project is completed, we'll still have plenty of spaces for our handicapped accessible parking and senior parking, but we'll also have some specific spaces that will be set aside as guest parking. And so I would just encourage us to keep that in mind. When we think about people entering a worship service for the first time, maybe pulling into a parking lot for the first time, sometimes it can be a little daunting, and so to know there's going to be a spot that'll be close to the door can be reassuring. And so let's just keep that in mind as we see everything that's happening. Again, we've got a tremendous a facility here and a blessing to use that in the service of God, and all we're doing is just trying to take care of that and trying to make that as open and inviting as we possibly can. Just a reminder, next Sunday we'll have our special open door schedule, and so after our combined adult class in here, we will eat a meal together. This is a golden opportunity to invite a family to join you. It's always easy to invite somebody if we're having food, but if you invite a family to join you, and then we'll have a singing devotional in the fellowship hall, and after that we can gear up and get ready for a trunk or treat. That's always a great opportunity, and even if you don't have children or grandchildren that you're planning on taking through to get candy, if you could be here, there's just something encouraging about presence, about you participating in making some of those memories, and that's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. You know, there are times when I hear a quote or I hear a story, and I think, I like that so much, I want to figure out who the original author of that story was, or the original quote was, so that I can share that. I want to find the original source. And then there are some times when you start looking for the original source for something, and you find about 20 different options. And so this is one of those that I heard, and when I tried to track it down, I found about 20 different versions of this. But apparently there either is, or there's a story told that there is, a sign in certain areas of Alaska where the road can be so difficult and challenging, especially if it's freezing and refreezing, that in order to go down the road, there are essentially ruts that end up being made by the tires of vehicles. And you've seen that before. You've maybe been driving out in the country, maybe off-road, and you can see kind of where the ruts are from where vehicles have gone before you. Maybe you've been driving on the interstate before, and sometimes when it snows on the interstate, you kind of get in those ruts and you realize this is where everybody else has been driving. I guess this is what I'm going to be driving in because there are piles of snow on the other side. Well, this sign in Alaska said, as you get started, it said, choose your ruts carefully, because you'll be driving them for the next 30 miles. Now, depending on what you look up, that's 60 miles. One source had it 200 miles. But I like that thought because all of us tend to get in ruts in life. It's just kind of human nature. Some of us are more routine-oriented than others. I'm a routine person. I'm a person that can get in those ruts and kind of keep going. We all know what that's like. And I think having a series where we think about church matters, where we think about what it is that we do when we come together as the body of Christ, is helpful if for no other reason than it reminds us that we didn't just pick out our ruts and are just there because this is what we've chosen. What we're trying to do is follow God's example. What we're trying to do is submit our will to His. Now, there are certainly some traditions that we have in life, some personal routines and ruts that we kind of get into. But when we think about serving God as His church, we don't want to just do what we've always done because we've always done it. We want to know why it is we're doing this. Why are we serving this way? And that's what we've tried to do over the last several weeks, is think about who the church is. How is the church supposed to be organized? How does it put together? How did God design for the church to function? Last week we spent time thinking, okay, what happens when there's a challenge? When there's discipline? When something difficult needs to be dealt with? How do we confront it and address it directly but lovingly? Firmly but fairly, the way that God would have us to. And as we think about these different ways in which the church works, tonight we're going to spend some time thinking about the flip side of last week. So last week, what happens when there's sin that enters the picture? And specifically, what happens if someone doesn't want to do what's right and doesn't want to repent? How do we deal with that? Now we're flipping the other side of this coin. What does it look like when the church is working together? What does it look like when the church is ministering together? What's the picture we have of the church serving God, ministering to its community, and doing so in the name of God? Now, there are a lot of different ways that we could decide to structure things, just like there are a lot of different ways we could organize things. We could come in with a different mentality, maybe that's developed from something that's worked specifically in a different field, and we're going to try to apply it here. Maybe we're thinking about, well, here's what human beings have learned about leadership and business, and we're going to apply it here. Ultimately, we're asking the question, how do we serve according to God's word? And we're going to spend more time in a passage that we looked at a couple of weeks ago, Ephesians chapter 4. And so if you haven't already turned there, I'd invite you to turn to Ephesians 4. We're going to pick up in verse 11, but it's important for us to set a little bit of the context here. When we read through the book of Ephesians, the first three chapters are a beautiful description of God's plan for the church. But those first three chapters seem to focus on the divine side of the church. Here is God's plan. Here's the way God has set this up. Here's the way that God has broken down the dividing wall between Jews and Gentiles. He's brought everyone in. It's showing us from God's perspective the plan for the church. And then when you get to chapter 4, there seems to be a shift in tone. So Paul spent the first three chapters describing God's plan for the church, and now he's going to get down into the practical application. And by the way, I do think it's instructive that when Paul was writing to a church that needed help, the first thing he begins with is God's plan for the church. And it's only when we understand that plan that we can really get into dealing with these practical matters. And we can assume, as we think about unity, as we read it here, we can make the assumption that the Christians that Paul's writing to here would have been unified in these seven ones that he mentions in Ephesians. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. So there's a unity there that's already assumed because Paul has set the stage. This is what brings us together. This is what calls us together. So now we have what unifies us. Now what guides us as we work? And so picking up in verse 11, "And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, We are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. When we think about service and when we think about ministry, what does that look like? There are a couple of principles that I think we find in this chapter and that we see reflected throughout the New Testament. I just want us to spend some time thinking about tonight. And the first is a simple one, but an important one, that ministry is vital to our service in Christ. And really, the word for ministry simply means service. So in essence, that's repetitive, saying that ministry is vital. But if I've got in my mind that I want to serve God, then doing something, having a ministry that I'm involved in, is going to be vital in that process. And there are different kinds of ministry that are all part of the life of a church. And so Paul lists some ways that in the early church, we had people serving. Did you notice that list in verse 11? He gave some as apostles. An apostle literally means one who is sent on a mission. You could say, in a sense, that all Christians have been sent on a mission, but here, Paul's thinking about the role that the apostles had in the early church, the role that these selected leaders who had walked with Jesus, who had learned from Jesus, had in guiding the early church. There were prophets. That was clearly something that happened both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. In the early church, there were these gifts of prophecy where God's communicating with the church. Evangelists, people who were sharing the gospel, the good news, proclaiming the glad story that we proclaim together. Some as pastors and teachers. When we talked about elders, we spent some time thinking about that term, pastor or shepherd. And one of the things that's really neat and I think inherent in that term of shepherd, and when we think about our shepherds here and shepherds of other congregations, there's a difference between being a hired hand and being a shepherd. When Jesus described himself as a good shepherd, he was distinguishing himself from those that might have just been kind of a hired hand helping out. He cared about his flock. And the same thing is true for the shepherds of a congregation, that they care about their flock. And those two terms of pastor and teacher are not only mentioned side by side, they also share a common article in the Greek there. And so some have said, well, maybe this is more like some are teaching pastors. And we know that elders are to teach. That's one of the requirements of becoming an elder and a shepherd. But as we're reminded of this, Paul is saying there are different roles that everyone has in the body. And that's not the only place Paul says this. Paul uses that body analogy in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 when he describes that there is one body with many members, and you don't look and say, I wish I were more like this person, or I wish I had this person's role. God has set each member in the body just as he wants him to be. In Romans chapter 12, there are different members of the body that work together for the same function. There, Paul lists the gifts of prophecy, of service, teaching, exhorting, giving, leading, mercy, cheerfulness. In other words, when we think of the term ministry, we need to see how broad that term is. When we think about service, how broad that is and everything that includes. And so if someone asks me if I'm one of the ministers at the Graymuir Church of Christ, I say, yes, I am. I'm one of the ministers. But all of us who are Christians are in ministry. All of us are serving. All of us have ways to serve. And I think it changes our perspective when we realize it's not just that, well, I'm part of a church and I've got sort of my daily job and I go and I do this, or here's my daily routine, but then certain times I do church things or church events. We're called to be servants and ministers in all kinds of different ways. And when we do so, when I'm ministering, when I'm serving, in whatever way that might be, when I'm fulfilling my role, then members of the body are working together. Have you ever been in a situation where maybe you're dealing with an injury, maybe you're dealing with an illness, but when part of your body hurts, or when part of your body won't work the way that you want it to, when your arm won't do what you want it to, or your foot won't do what you want it to, that can be a real challenge. In the church, when a member of the body isn't pulling with the group, isn't helping out with everything else, isn't working in concert, that can be a real challenge. So Paul's reminding them and reminding us, as the body, we work together. And there are different specific ways that if we were thinking of a list of ministers and ministries here at Graymere, we would think of our elders that serve here, shepherds that serve this flock. There are ways that we can minister to and serve our shepherds. Not only do our shepherds serve us, not only do they pray for us, pray with us, care for us, but we can also pray for them. We can serve them. We can choose to live in a way that's going to be an encouragement to and a blessing to them. When both are working together, the body's working together. We just appointed several new deacons several weeks ago. We have our deacons who are already serving and working hard. We've added new deacons to that number. As we do that, as they're serving, as they're asking for people to volunteer and to help with certain areas, as they're trying out different things, and let's see if we can do this, let's encourage that. We can choose to encourage that. We can choose to serve them. We can choose to encourage them and their families, just as they've chosen to do that to us. We have elders, we have deacons that are serving, but all of us have a place to serve. You know, sometimes we wonder about what it means to place membership with the congregation. We know from reading the book of Acts that when we become a Christian, it's the Lord who adds us to the church. It's not a decision any human being makes. It's God's will that when we submit our will to His, He adds us to His church. So when we think about placing membership or being a member at Graymere, we're not thinking about, do I qualify to be a member of the Lord's church? That's what God decides. If someone's asking that question, we want to study God's word. If they've already made the choice to become a child of God, I'm not determining whether or not they're a member of the church, but we do want to talk about, what does it mean to be a member of this body? And I think we've got multiple times where Paul's describing a church working together with a body with different members. I think that's a good basis for us to think about what it means to be a member at Graymere, and where am I serving, and how am I plugged in? And I love the way Paul reminds us of that in Ephesians chapter 4, because all of these that are listed in verse 11, in verse 12, he says, the goal is for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, or your translation may say ministry. The equipping of the saints. That's used in the biblical term of saints, those who have become Christians, who have been set apart for service to God. In other words, that includes all of us who are Christians. Maybe in the way we think of the term saint today, we think of someone who has to be perfect to be a saint. In Scripture, that refers to Christians. In other words, ministry is set aside for all of us to do. We're to be equipped. And that term is in a noun form for equipping, although Paul uses that verb throughout his writings. It indicates being fully prepared. The idea is when the church is working together the way God's designed it, we're fully prepared to do ministry. So if I'm a Christian, the idea of serving is a non-negotiable. It's part of the deal. It's part of the role. Now, one of the things that happens is at different seasons of our lives, we can have different roles in ministry. There are some seasons of our life when maybe we've got more free time to be able to plug in and to do some things that would help in various ways. And then maybe we think about a couple that has children. And maybe they can't do as much as in ministry as they would have once done in the congregation. But also when you're raising children, when you're teaching them God's word, that's your most vital ministry. That's what's so important. And so we understand that. There are times when our health can change, and our health keeps us from doing what we want to do. And those can be some of the most frustrating times. And God knows what we can accomplish, and God knows there'll be seasons of our life. Here's where I could do this. Now in this season, what can I do? And even if I feel like I can't do much or what I can do won't make a difference, we might be surprised at how many people that even the simplest act of service or ministry could encourage. Am I willing to find what I can do? I don't have to do what everybody else can do, but I need to do what I can do. What is it I... Maybe if it's smaller than I want it to be, or maybe I'm a little nervous and I want to start small and build up, but it's vital to my service in Christ to spend time in ministry and in serving others. And one thing we see in Scripture in the New Testament church is that when the church had needs that were to be met, and when the church had ministry that needed people to serve, that it was something that was voluntarily not only supported but financially supported by Christian servants. You know, there are a lot of ways we can decide in business. We might want to make money or develop a way to take care of our family, and we might have all kinds of ideas. I can remember growing up, I used to read comic books, and there'd be a back page on most of these comic books that would advertise little things you could send off for. And I got excited one year when I started looking at a Harry Blackstone magic kit that you could get. And the way you could do that is if you sold these greeting cards that they had, you know, door to door, sell enough greeting cards, you know, you could make money to get this magic kit. And I was determined at that point in my life that I was going to learn how to use this. And so I ordered the greeting cards. They came in. I went door to door selling greeting cards. I can tell you that if you're raising money for a school fundraiser, people are very generous. If you just go door to door trying to sell them a card and they say, "What is this raising money for?" and you say, "Me," as a third or fourth grader, not quite as generous, right? It took a little while. But all of us have done the fundraising and raising money for that's great. When we think about different businesses we're a part of, or maybe different organizations that we're trying to raise money for. But the model we see in the church is that when Christians come together and Christians meet needs, it's done by giving, by free will giving, being a cheerful giver, bringing what you have and offering it as service to the Lord as an offering in that sense, but also to be used by the church to accomplish God's purposes. So ministry is something that's done by Christian servants. It's funded by Christian servants. We're using what God has given us to try to bless others. Ministry is vital, not only for our service, but it's also vital for our maturity in Christ. Because Paul continues to write about what happens as a result of this. He says, "We do this till we attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ." And then as a result, he says, we're not like children. We're not tossed around back and forth. Ministry is vital to help us grow in our maturity. A few years ago, we put together a website that is designed to help those who are spiritually searching, asking some questions. It's called FaithMap, faithmap.org. It's something you can share with a friend, just as a reminder, if someone's asking some spiritual questions. But there's sort of a list of questions we go through and some short videos on that website. And the final question is, am I involved in a maturing ministry? So it starts with the question, do I believe it's possible to know anything? Do I believe knowledge is possible? Do I believe in God? Do I believe in Jesus as God's Son? Do I believe in the Bible as the religious authority? Am I a Christian? Am I a faithful Christian? Am I a servant? And then lastly, am I involved in a maturing, in a growing ministry? In other words, I don't just want to make the initial decision to become a Christian. I want to make that initial decision, but I want to continue to mature, and I want to continue to grow. And ministry is a vital, vital part of that. There's something about serving God in ministry that helps us grow up spiritually, that helps us mature. It gives us stability. We're not discouraged or dissuaded by any new trend that comes through. If we don't have that level of maturity, then we'll just sort of be like, as Paul describes, a ship that's just sort of bobbing on the water. And wherever the waves go, we'll go over here or go over there. And so ministry and service to God is what helps me in my own spiritual maturity. I can remember when I was starting to take some grad classes years ago, and part of the education that takes place when you're taking graduate courses is you'll read from a variety of different theological perspectives. And you'll wrestle with some things, some difficult things, some challenging things. And sometimes that can be so discouraging to people who are taking those courses or who are spending time learning. And it can be really discouraging if all they're doing is reading and reading and studying, and they're not out in the world doing ministry and plugged in with the congregation. And one of the most helpful pieces of advice I can remember getting when I first started taking those courses was something that every student was heavily encouraged to do, which was to make sure that while they were studying and while they were learning these things, that they were plugged in with a congregation. They weren't just going to a worship service somewhere, that they were working with the congregation, that they were involved in ministry, because there's something about ministry week in and week out, day in and day out, deciding not only am I going to learn all these things, but I'm going to practically put those into practice. It just helps us mature. And it keeps us from being tossed side to side with every new thing that we see or every new thing that we hear. It also helps us grow in our character. I'm not going to be able to mature unless I'm really wrestling with how do I put this Christian life into practice. It changes my character. It changes who I am. And then it unifies the church. Verse 16, the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part. What every joint supplies, what each piece of us, what each person working together in unity supplies, allows the church to mature. It's not just about me. If I'm seeking to do ministry and to mature, that's good for me, but that's also good for the church. Because in turn, I can bless and encourage others. I think that becomes more and more of a challenge for us in a world where it's so easy to become a consumer. And while we think about the needs that all of us have, there are times when I'm sure you felt this way. I know I felt this way. There are times I've come to a worship service and I've needed encouragement. I've needed other people to lift me up and to encourage me, to tell me, you can get through this. I've needed that. All of us have times where we need things from each other. But ministry reminds us that it's not just about what I need to get out of the church. It's about what I can give to others. And so, yes, there might be sometimes you come into a worship service and you know that I'm just in need of encouragement and I'm in need of help. But there may be other times when you walk in here on a Wednesday night and you think, you know, it's a busy week. I've got a lot going on. It'd be nice if I could get ahead on some things. And you kind of feel that pull, maybe being here on a Wednesday night or on a Sunday night, or I don't know. But then because you're here, you're able to give that encouragement. You're able to help someone in a way maybe they didn't even know they needed help. That's what the church working together is all about. And the reason we do what we do is because we're seeking to glorify and honor God. There are times in lives we can get into a rut. We can go in the same direction we've gone just because that's the direction we've always gone. But as Christians, it's my prayer, it's my hope, that we remind ourselves, we didn't just choose our rut here. We didn't just choose what we wanted to do. We're letting God guide us, and we're seeking to follow His guidance. It may be that as we've talked about the church, you've realized tonight you need to become part of the church. The good news of the gospel is that every single one of us, every single one here tonight, if you haven't made that decision, you have that opportunity and have that ability. You can choose to submit your will to God's, to say, I'm going to turn around from the way I've been living, confess Jesus as Lord, and put Christ on in baptism. But as Ephesians 4 reminds us, that's not the finish line. Baptism is the starting gate. That's where we begin, and we continue to live that life of maturity. It may be that there's another need you have, or that you could use prayers or encouragement. If there's any way we could help you, please let us know as we stand and as we all sing together.